Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino, breaking down UFC 289, Nunes versus Aldana. We have 11 fights on the card. Lock is scheduled for 7 p.m. Eastern, and hopefully everything goes good with weigh-ins because we don't want to have anything less than 11 fights on a card ever. 11 is kind of short, but it is what it is. We'll take it. We have one five-rounder. That is the main event, Amanda Nunes versus Irene Aldana. Kind of wish the co-main was five rounds with Charles Oliveira and Beneil Dariush, but really, when you look at the way these two fight, there is a very good chance it gets finished inside the three rounds anyway. But would be cool if that was scheduled for five. It is a title eliminator. And if, you know, if this one does go to decision, I feel like we're going to be wishing we had a couple more rounds. But we got what we got, and we'll go with that. And we'll just jump right into it. Actually, before we jump into it, I am going to be playing some prize picks this week. I have four plays that I put together. I haven't been playing it. I haven't played it at all this year, but it was brought up to me. I was asked if I do play or if I put out any picks for people. And the short answer was no, but I decided I probably should put it back in the breakdown, and it is fun. I do like Prize Picks, so I'm going to start playing it again. And I feel like this is a good week. I like the plays. One of them is more indicative of just getting the fight right, but the other ones are pretty solid. So as I go down this card, I will give the Prize Picks that I had picked, and hopefully we can put together a nice little four-pack winner. So with that being said, now we'll jump into it. Our first fight of the night is Deanna Belbicha taking on Maria Oliveira. Very close matchup here. They're both good strikers. The thing that I like with Belbicha a little bit more is that she's willing to go forward. That, to me, that often plays in the eyes of the judges. We don't know what these judges are looking at most times. So it's tough, but I do think this one's probably going to go to a decision. I like the aggressive nature of Belbicha. Oliveira is more of a counter striker, so she's likely going to be going backwards more in this fight. If they do grapple, I feel like they kind of just stalemate each other. They both, you know, they can both be taken down. They can both be controlled, but you know, neither one of them is really dominant in the grappling department. So I don't see one of them just dominating this fight grappling-wise. I feel like it's going to be mostly a striking affair. Rolling with Belbicha because I just think the forward pressure is going to be potentially what sways the judges. She is slightly higher volume. So, very close matchup. Coin flip basically anywhere you look. And I'm just going to roll with Belbicha in this one. Now, this is my first prize pick play. And I'm going with the under on Oliveira, 73.5 points. And basically, with this one, I'm just banking on the fact that I'm going to get the fight right. And obviously, if Oliveira loses, there's very, very little chance she scores 73.5. In a win, obviously, she could probably go over that. But so far in her career, she's only scored in the 80s once. And, you know, Belbicha, the same thing. So they're not the most high-volume scoring-type fighters. Pretty even matchup. I think the under 73.5 on Oliveira is a pretty solid play. Our next matchup is in the flyweight division. We have Steve Ursegg making his debut against David Dvorak. Really, to me, Dvorak is a step below the top of the division, but he is a solid fighter. Taking on Ursegg, making his debut. Ursegg, mostly known for his subs, his submissions. He's very good. He attacks submissions very well. So there is danger when it comes to him. But, you know, he struggles to get the takedowns. He's another guy who's almost reliant on the fight just getting to the ground some way, somehow. And then he can utilize his submission skills. David Dvorak's never been submitted. So I'm not overly concerned with that. The fact that Ursegg's making his debut. Dvorak's been to decision with some very tough guys. feel like Dvorak should roll in this one. Not the highest volume, which, you know, I don't ever like picking low volume guys, but his grappling is solid. His striking is good too. I mean, he does have 8 KOs on his record, and he also has 8 submissions, which, so, I mean, he has been a finisher in the past, mostly in the UFC. We've seen him going to decisions, but this is kind of one of those lower level guys that he was fighting before he got to the UFC. So potentially we see a finish here, but I like Dvorak, finish or no finish. I think he gets the job done. Ursed coming in, making his debut, short notice. You know, Dvorak just has to mind his P's and Q's, and I think he'll be fine. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Blake Builder taking on Kyle Nelson. With this matchup, yeah, I mean, there is definitely some danger early. Nelson has shown to be a good fighter at parts in his career, especially starting the fights early. He's a good first-round fighter. He is dangerous. He's pretty strong. His grappling's decent. But he does give up position a lot, and that's a problem. Blake Builder is a good grappler. He's explosive, opportunistic-type fighter. He loves the body lock takedown, which in this matchup I feel like is going to be there. Nelson's a taller guy, and I do think they'll be grappling a lot. Both guys do prefer to grapple. But the one thing about Nelson that kind of I don't like about him is his cardio is not great. He fought at 45, a couple fights in the UFC, moved up to 55 because he's a bigger guy. Now he's back down to 145, which to me, his cardio is worse at 145 because the weight cut's much harder. And Blake Builder, all he really has to do is push a pace, avoid big shots early. I think his volume will be there. I think he will win the grappling, especially in the later rounds. So I like Blake Builder here. I do see an opportunity for a finish, but Builder just to win, I feel pretty good about. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Arichi Lang taking on Ayman Zahabi. I've kind of been an Ayman Zahabi doubter for his whole career, mostly because I just watched him get knocked out. I believe it was on the Contender Series with a spinning back elbow, and I just thought, guy's never going to be the same. And so far, his two fights in the UFC, he's 2-0, and he's kind of proven me wrong. So he's not. So really, with this matchup, I love Arichi Lang because he's aggressive, he can wrestle, he's a good striker, but Ayman Zahabi is very good defensively. We saw that in his fight with Ricky Tercios. Basically, Tercios was throwing and missing a lot. Obviously, a lot of you might remember that fight. Tercios was, you know, doing a lot of hi-yahs and all that bullshit. That was doing nothing the whole fight. So it was a frustrating fight to watch. But what I did realize in that fight is his defense is good. And he is a good counter-striker. And he does have solid power. In this matchup with Arichi Lang starts fast. He works the body. He is dangerous, obviously. But he gets himself hit a lot. And a lot of his fights are closer than they should be. And for that reason, I'm going to roll with Zahabi here. I think he does have the ability to catch Arichi Lang with something. And defensively, he should be pretty safe. You know, maybe Arichi Lang tries to wrestle him, but I think his takedown defense is halfway decent as well. From what I've seen, we haven't seen a ton of him. He doesn't fight all that often, but I just feel like he's solid all around, and he can almost just stalemate a lot of what Arichi Lang is going to do, and then he does have the power to land something big, and, you know, obviously if he does that, it's huge. He's the underdog here. Some relatively close matchup. I don't know. I just have a feeling about Zahabi, and I wouldn't be shocked if he caught Arichi Lang with something and finished him. Our next fight is in the women's flyweight division. We have Miranda Maverick taking on Jasmine Jezdavicius. This is another prize pick play for me. I've got Miranda Maverick over 2 takedowns. Both of these women prefer to grapple, but Maverick, to me, is the stronger of the two. She's had much more success landing takedowns in the UFC. Jezdavicius, she's more of a, I don't know, she gets her opponents up against the cage. She tries to drag them to the ground. She doesn't have like a clean double or single leg from what I've seen. And I feel like Miranda Maverick transitions very well. So she'll have a little bit of the edge in the grappling department, and actually maybe a big edge. But I think Maverick, because they're both going to be looking for takedowns, I feel like 2-3 takedowns for Maverick is more than possible. And overall, I think that's what's going to win her the fight. I think she's going to control the positions. She'll be the more damaging fighter in those positions. And really, she just, if she's not landing takedowns, she's pursuing takedowns the whole time. She has a good motor. Very solid fighter. Jezdavicius is good too, but I just feel like the cleaner grappling goes to Maverick, and I've got to roll with her in this one. So Maverick for the win. Maverick 2 takedowns. Definitely think this fight has a good chance to go to decision. So I kind of like the overs, although I think they're priced up a little bit. The overs in terms of rounds, 2.5 rounds. But I haven't really gotten too much into that. But I do think this fight goes to decision. So maybe even Maverick by decision might be a good way to bet. But yeah, that's what I think about that. And we move on. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Nasruddin Imavov taking on Chris Curtis. This is a tough one. It's a tough one indeed. I feel like every Chris Curtis fight is tough because he tends to lose early and come back strong. And I feel like he was even going to do that in his last fight against Kelvin Gastelum, but he took a head clash, partially knocked him out, goes down, and basically loses the round because Gastelum jumps on him, lands 10, 15 shots where it looked like the fight was going to be ended. Chris Curtis gets up, makes the round pretty even at the end, but none of us could tell there was a head clash until we saw the replay. So obviously the judges didn't know there was a head clash, and that middle of the round was what swung it for Gastelum. But overall, I thought Curtis fought a halfway decent fight. I definitely think if there was no head clash, he could have won rounds 2 and 3. And just a competitive fight. And I'm dragging on about that fight too long. But all that being said, Curtis tends to start slow, kind of shells up, defends really well. Like, a lot of the shots that are landing on him are on the arms, on the elbows. He protects himself pretty well. But obviously, we worry about him losing the first round, and then, you know, you got to win the next two. So far in his career, in his UFC career, it's paid off pretty well. Even being down early in the first round, sometimes he comes back and finishes in the first round. Other times he does it in the second or later in the fight. But I like Curtis here. With all that being said, I like Curtis. Again, I do expect him to go down a little bit in the first round. Imavov is very dangerous. His wrestling's good, but I don't think the wrestling is going to play into this one. Chris Curtis' takedown defense is way too good. So I think, ideally, for me, Imavov does try to wrestle, does get a couple takedowns stuffed, and slows down. Because what I have noticed with Imavov is, despite the fact that his cardio is okay and he can go 3 full rounds, he definitely slows down, especially if grappling is involved. I really think this is going to be a sweat the whole way through, but I think later in this fight, Chris Curtis could land some power shots when Imavov slows down a little bit. And I really think after the last fight with Chris Curtis, I think he's going to know he's got to have a little bit more of a killer instinct. I think he might go for it a little bit more in this one. And that's speculation, but I mean, I just, based on the way that fight went down, I feel like a guy like Chris Curtis is going to come out looking to make a statement. And it's, to me, this is a very close fight. I'm happy to be on Chris Curtis as a dog. And I think There's a chance he finishes this fight with a knockout, but overall, I do think he'll be the better fighter rounds 2 and 3, and that may be all we need. The next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Eric Anders taking on Marc-Andre Barriot. Eric Anders, big, strong guy. Seems like he has way more power than what you'll see, you know, than his actual knockout results will show. But he does have some pretty good power. He is strong. Really, this matchup, to me, comes down to volume. Marc-Andre Barriot, the power bar, that's his nickname for a reason. He just continues to get stronger as the fight goes on. Continues to land more volume. Now, Eric Anders is the type of fighter that will grab a hold of you and try to negate some of that volume. But I just think Barriot, over the course of 3 rounds, is going to land a good amount of strikes. He's going to obviously be the higher volume guy. Well, I say obviously, but in my eyes, I feel like it's obvious he'll be the higher output guy. And for that reason, this is my third Prize Picks play, where I like this over 63.5 significant strikes for Barriot. We saw in his last fight, kind of like middling first round, you know, he was losing for a decent majority of it, but you could see him getting stronger and stronger as the round went on. Second round, I think he ended up landing like 50-something strikes to finish the fight in the second round, and obviously went over the 63.5 there. But this matchup in particular, I feel like he can use that kind of volume, which is it's the way to win against Andrews. Just keep putting volume on him, putting pace on him, and he will slow down a little bit. 63.5 seems very doable. I would expect him to be closer to somewhere in the hundreds, or up to at least 100 strikes, just based on the fact that Andrews is durable. So it's not like he's easy to get out of there. And he is there to be hit. So even if Anders does clinch and kind of try to make this an ugly fight, I still think Barriot puts out enough volume. I mean, basically 20 strikes around, 22 strikes around will get us there. And I feel like a guy like Barriot, who's known for his pace, cardio, volume, he'll get there. 63.5. I like him to win. I do think it goes long. It probably goes to a decision. But, yeah, Barriot to win over 63.5. And that's it. I think we've got a winner there. Now we get into basically a run on underdogs here. Main card. Last week swept the main card. This week's gonna be a sweat all the way through, because the next three fights I am on the underdog, and it starts in the featherweight division with Dan Ige taking on Nate Landwehr. I really like Ige. He's a good striker. He's powerful. He's dangerous. But overall, to me, Landwehr, the times he has been finished has been by knee. He's shown to be pretty durable. Other than that, I don't see Ige throwing a hell of a lot of knees. I think Landwehr is a much higher volume guy. I think Landwehr mixes in the takedowns. He absolutely can. He is the better wrestler. Ige, we have seen get taken down and controlled in the past. Not just against Movsar Evloev, but some other guys. Obviously, Evloev, that was his whole game plan, was to take him down. But we have seen Ige get taken down in the past, and sometimes he, you know, the volume's not always there, kind of leaves a little bit to be desired. And against a guy like Nate Landwehr, who's gonna be all action, I don't know, I just think Landwehr puts the volume out there, avoids the big shots, maybe lands a few takedowns, well, you know, even one or two takedowns, steals rounds. I just feel like there's a very good chance for Nate Landwehr to pull this upset off. He's a pretty decent sized dog, so obviously if he does, that would pay us nice. But I really think it's a much closer matchup than the odds would say. I think the volume is going to be there. It's just up to Nate Landwehr to be smart, not take that massive shot that Ige can land. and this is going to be a dogfight all the way through. And Landwehr has won a lot of dogfights, and so has Ige. But love this fight. I think this fight is one of the better fights on the card, and it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Nate Landwehr to pull the upset. We move on to the welterweight division, where Mike Mallott takes on Adam Fugit. Fugit, another dog for me here. I really like this guy. His grappling is solid. He throws heavy punches. He'll eat some shots, but he seems to be extremely durable. We saw him get finished in his debut against Michael Morales, but really, in that fight, I had Morales to steamroll Fugit. Fugit was making his debut, just didn't see any kind of path. Morales, to me, looks like the real deal. And Fugit brought the fight. I mean, he was a step behind Morales in that one, but I really saw a lot. I thought this kid's got a chance, and I just think he's got that dog in him. He really does. He's durable. His grappling is good. I think in this fight, he's just going to look to push the pace, land big shots, and really the pace to me is what's going to be interesting. Mike Mallott, very dangerous. Very dangerous boxer, heavy, good power. But, you know, we saw him against Mickey Gall. He was getting kind of pieced up a little bit in the first round. His nose was bleeding. Didn't look like this massive prospect that he's kind of being talked about as. And I do think he's good. And the power is definitely there. But the way I see it, if Fugit doesn't eat something big early, pushes the pace, grapples, you know, makes it ugly, it'll be interesting to see what kind of gas tank Mallott really has. He's had a lot of finishes, and obviously we could see a finish here from him. But really, over the course of three rounds, I like Fugit. I think the matchup is much closer. These guys are, you know, two prospects who we've seen twice in the UFC each, and you know, I don't have a really full, you know, a full read on either one of these guys yet. I don't really know how good either one of these guys is. Neither one of them has fought the stiffest of competition. I mean, Fugit fought Morales, who I think is a very high-level prospect. But again, he's also a prospect. We don't know how good he actually is. So there's still questions to be answered about both of these guys. And to me, I know Fugit can go a solid three rounds, push the pace the whole time, and that may be all he needs to do is, you know, get into the second and third round, push a high pace, grapple, make it ugly. I think he can get the job done. That brings us to our co-main event. Charles Oliveira taking on Beneil Dariush. The people's main event, as they say. This one's tough, because it's tough to pick against Dariush. He is very good. But man, I've just been a Charles Oliveira guy for a very long time, and for good reason. I think he's a level above Dariush. Dariush is a very good grappler, and he probably is not afraid of Oliveira's grappling, which is fine. But Oliveira does have some really good power, and he is strong. He's much stronger than I think he gets credit for. He pushes a heavy pace, and I just think he's extremely dangerous all around. His striking is extremely dangerous. He is durable. He had that reputation of a quitter, blah, 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 in the past. But it's been brought up over and over and over again. He's just smashed guys that make guys quit. Dustin Poirier makes guys quit. Justin Gaethje makes guys quit. Michael Chandler makes guys quit. And Oliveira took all of those guys out. He takes out most of the guys he fights. And as the dog here against Dariush, I mean, this is the biggest step up in Dariush's career. He's got the win over Gamrot. But I honestly don't think Gamrot's all that good. And we saw it in that fight. He's desperate for takedowns, and if he's not landing them late, he's not good. I think that's a tailor-made fight for a guy like Dariush, who can wrestle for three rounds and who can defend the takedowns and who can scramble. So this to me is, I mean, I don't see how anybody can quit. It's the highest level for Dariush. And I think obviously he's right there. His striking's good. He's extremely dangerous. Obviously Oliveira can be hit. Oliveira can be hurt. And both guys can. I mean, we saw it with Dariush a few times in his career. We saw Alex Hernandez knock him out. We saw him get rocked badly by Jakar Close and have to come back. Amazing comeback in that fight. So really, with both of these guys, we've seen both of these guys get hurt on the feet. We know they can both grapple. We know they can both throw power. But to me, I just feel like Charles Oliveira is the tip of the spear when it comes to the 155-pound division. I would love to see him against Islam again. I think he could beat Islam. I think Dariush also could beat Islam. I think both guys have the skill set to do it. They're both up there. They're great fighters. I don't really like picking against either one. Charles Oliveira as a dog, though, is tough to pass up ever. And I'm going to roll with Charles here. I've been rolling with him really since his loss to Paul Felder. You could see him turn it around after that. The guy's been nothing short of amazing in most of his fights. And I feel as he is potentially just a little bit, just a step above Dariush. And, you know, we'll find out on Saturday. But I love Oliveira in this spot. I love him as a dog, and I think he gets the job done. We move on to the main event. The bantamweight title is on the line. Amanda Nunes taking on Irene Aldana. I think if Aldana had a full fight camp for this, I would give her a better chance in this one. She's big. She has good boxing. She has solid power. Her grappling is where I feel like she's going to be at a disadvantage. She does throw up good submissions. She's not a fish out of water on the ground, but I just feel like Amanda Nunes does have a pretty solid advantage there. And we've seen Aldana get taken down. We've seen her get picked apart by Holly Holm on the feet. I mean, she got absolutely embarrassed by Holly Holm. On the feet. It was just a clinic. So she definitely is a solid fighter. She has the attributes to win this fight. But I think Amanda Nunes coming in shape, which I expect her to do. She was training for Juliana, who she apparently hates. I mean, she does not like Juliana Pena. And so she looks like she's in phenomenal shape. Looks like she's, you know, this isn't going to be the out-of-shape Amanda Nunes that we saw in the first Juliana Pena fight. And I don't know, I just think the grappling is going to be there. That's going to be what puts her over in this fight. The power is obviously always there. It's always a threat. But obviously Aldana is dangerous on the feet. So if there's a path, the path would be for me, if I'm Nunes or if I'm coaching her, take this fight to the ground. With that being said, Amanda Nunes, Prize Picks, 2 takedowns. I went the over there. I think she lands a couple takedowns. I think she lands 3 or 4 takedowns if the fight goes beyond, 2 rounds. So the edge to me goes to Amanda in the grappling. Obviously, Amanda's on a full fight camp. Aldana, she's not taking this on extremely short notice, but for your first title fight, 5-round fight, you kind of want to have a full training camp. So who knows? We'll see where the gas tank is with Aldana. But I don't think she'll have the edge in cardio because she is coming in a little bit shorter notice. And overall, I mean, Amanda Nunes, if all things were even, I would still be picking Nunes. But I think the slightly shorter notice, and the grappling is going to make a difference in this one. So Amanda Nunes, and still give me two takedowns, well, three takedowns, I guess, on Prize Picks. And that'll do it. That'll do it for the card. I am looking forward to this one, as I look forward to every card. I think we'll have a lot of fun. Definitely not the best main, or, you know, definitely not the best pay-per-view, but there are some good fights on this card. And as always, you know, there's a winner in every, well, I guess there could be a draw, but there's potentially a winner in every fight. So there's always possibility to make some money on these fights. And I will be updating everything on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all my social medias, at TommyZ_MMA. Give me a follow, and we'll see how the weigh-ins go. Anything, you know, anything changes, I will update it, like I said, on the social medias. And until next time, good luck on Saturday.